Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Friends with Friends. I'm Pete Allison, this is Dave Cribb.
Hello, how are we?
I'm alright, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Good. I've had a night of staying up late, so I'm slightly tired, but all is well and I'm ready to... I've basically just mentally engaged my mind about 3 minutes ago, so...
Okay. Well, fortunately, you've got a great episode of Friends to reinvigorate you, so
absolutely.
It's going to be okay.
And I've been warming up and now I'm fine. So yeah, ready to do my stretches, ironically, for this episode. That'll all become clear in a minute. This is episode 8 of Friends with Friends. But aren't we rattling through them, Peter?
We are, I know.
I'll be honest. You know when you start a podcast and you expect to do... up to 2 episodes before you lose track of it.
This has actually made it to the point of people listening to it.
Yeah, I know. It's just, we can only hope that there's still anyone out there. But the great thing about this format is that every time we do an episode, there's a new set of parents and potentially a partner to listen to that episode because we have a new guest every week. So basically, we are formatting geniuses. We'll crank those audience numbers up by 3 every week until we hit a significant number. Shall we meet today's friend?
Yes, I would like to do that.
Great. So Friends with Friends, of course, we get a different friend of ours on every show to talk about their favourite episode of Friends. This is the first episode you've listened to, welcome. You are very welcome. Today's friend... is a man I went to school with, Pete. I've known him since I was 9 years old.
So many years.
And, but, you know, more pertinently for this podcast, he is one of the UK's leading medical-based events conference planners.
Niche.
Please welcome friend of the podcast, Simon Morgan. Simon, hello.
Hi, hello. Hi, Dave. Hi, Pete. How are we?
Hello. Hi. Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. I'm very well.
I only really know that you do medical-based conferences. I don't know if you are one of the UK's leading or not, but I thought it's good to grandiose you a bit.
I mean, I think nobody is going to know the market that well, so I can claim the crown in that niche market.
Yeah, but you've just got to worry that your boss isn't listening and goes, well, he's an arrogant prick. Sack him.
If I ask my boss to listen to this, I will prepare him in advance for my arrogance.
But Simon and I have watched Friends together for many, many, many years.
Roughly the same number of years, I reckon.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. We've lived together, so we've got quite a good shared memory of watching Friends. And I knew the episode Simon was going to choose before he told me, because it's the first one I think he owned on... Remember when he used to get those Friends videos and there were like 4 episodes on a video?
Yeah.
And that was the one we used to watch at his house when we were like 12.
That is true.
I used to own a DVD that had 4 episodes at the start of season 7 on. And so I know those 4 episodes at the start of season 7 so much better than any other Friends episodes. Mm.
I wish that my video scenario was even that glamorous. The reason that I watched this episode so many times is it's because my mum taped it off the telly.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. And it was the only one we had for about a year. So I watched this episode daily for over a year. So, I mean, I should know it like the back of my hand. But this was a long time ago when taping off the telly was still a thing.
I think you are the first person we've had on who has referenced watching Friends on VHS. Congratulations. Yes.
Thank you so much. Always on trend.
And it is entirely plausible that up to sort of 60 or 70% of our audience will have never taped anything off the telly.
It gives you a bit of nostalgia, though, you know, the old, you know, continuity announcers and that from was it? Late 90s?
Oh, man.
Take me back. It was a simpler time.
Riddle me this. Was it a VHS that you'd taken the tab out of so it couldn't be recorded over? Did you value it that highly?
No, I didn't actually know you could do that. That is brand new information.
We are breaking new technological... Do you not know that?
No.
Do you know that, Pete?
I did. I can't say I've ever done it, but I did know it happened. To be honest, Dave, it's not something I've thought about for a long time.
I remember. That was a really important part of VHS sort of archiving. So you take a little tab out and it just meant you can't record over it.
This would have saved so much drama when my sister recorded over the parents' wedding video.
Did that actually happen? Oh my God.
I'm pretty sure that is not a lie. I don't think I'm making that up for comic effect. I'm pretty sure that at least part of the wedding video has something like a Christmas film recorded over it.
Oh my day.
Well, not anymore. It's obviously long gone. But at the time, it was pretty traumatic.
Yeah, and that's
everyone.
Probably the only copy of that video that existed, isn't it? The wedding video.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh my days. Oh, great news. All right, well, let's crack on and talk about your favourite episode of Friends. We've heard the history. We've heard the context. Tell us, Simon, which episode you have chosen, please.
I have chosen season 3. I want to say episode 9 or 10.
It is 9.
Okay, season 3, episode 9, the one with the football.
Great one. It's a really strong episode.
Very good choice.
As always, Pete, I will just give you the little paragraph.
Please do.
And this is interesting, actually, because what I usually do, if you haven't listened to this podcast, is just read off like the plot summary from basically from Wikipedia, which is usually 6 or 7 sentences, because there's usually 3 or 4 different plot lines to go. You know, Joey does this, Chandler does that, Monica does that. This one, listen to the length of this summation. And then we'll go into why. Emotions become the feast of the day when the gang plays a game of touch football on Thanksgiving. Meanwhile, Joey and Chandler argue over who gets to date a Dutch model that is watching the game.
The end.
The end.
Is that it?
End of episode.
I guess it's because we've got all 6 characters involved in the same like part of the story, right? Aren't they? They're all there. They're all there together.
Yeah, this is one of those episodes like the one where no one's ready or a couple of other ones where they're basically all just in the same room for the whole episode. So there's none of this nipping off to different plot lines or everything intertwining and meeting up at the end. It's just one straight thing with a couple of little side plots bundled in as we go. So I guess the best way is just to work through this one chronologically, because there's only really the football, which is sort of Ross and Monica being super competitive, and then the Dutch girl, which is Joey and Chandler being super competitive.
That's it.
That's
and then
it.
So much associated silliness.
Yeah, and Rachel gets a pretzel. That's sort of her storyline.
That is it. You can just really you savour the well-crafted comedy for a solid 22 minutes.
Yeah. So like we say, it's one of these ones. Everyone's in the same situation. And it starts when Ross and Monica, it sort of transpires that they're not allowed to play football together anymore because of some deep, dark history they had in the past where they used to play every year. And Monica broke Ross's nose, is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
And since then, basically, their mum's banned them from playing football. And in lovely sitcom fashion, we cut to, 16 years later or whatever, and they're still not allowed to play.
It's 12 years later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you do know the chronology of this.
12 years later. Yes, the nose breaking was reportedly savage, but... If it's for the winning touchdown, I think it's allowed, isn't it?
Do you know what? Actually, when watching this episode, I wrote down the word savage with no other context. And I'm guessing that's where it's come from.
I think that's probably it, yeah.
But Ross had to go to hospital. They were banned from playing football. And this sets up basically the whole thing, which is Ross v. Monica in a sort of competitive sibling rivalry, which spills over as we tick along. So they're on the field. They split into 2 teams.
Yes.
Led by Ross and Monica. Rachel gets picked last. She's annoyed. This whole thread runs through where she's told to go long, which is that a thing that you do if you're not good at football?
I think it's the equivalent of being like put in goal in English football.
It's like the least damage you can do.
The one that people don't want to do.
Right. But having watched the Super Bowl, like them, the ones that go long, like score the touchdowns.
They do all the catching
stuff. Yeah, which is basically half the game. One person throws and one person catches.
Yeah, if there's nobody catching, all those quarterbacks are just throwing balls aimlessly at a big hole in the pitch.
So Rachel is the key player in this, which she does not realise. The football game kicks off and basically they start a timer, don't they, for 28 minutes. The turkey's going to be done. And then it's like, we're going to play a game of American football. Why do we like this? Why do we like this episode so much? We don't know anything about American football.
I think the one thing that stands out for me is you start to see the dynamics of the group developing. So I think you see Joey's always on that trajectory in this season where he's gone from being almost Lothario to just dim-witted. And this is the start of him showing how really dim-witted he is.
Well, we've talked about this, haven't we, Pete, in the past, the trajectory of Joey from like in season one and a bit of season two, from what we've watched back so far. He's like making funny little comments. He's been quite clever. But this is the first one, isn't it? There's the joke in this episode about the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And he comes out and is, oh, the Netherlands are a make-believe place where Peter Pan and Tinkerbell live. And that's like where we're like, oh, yeah, okay, he started to sink.
There is the brilliant moment when the Dutch woman introduces herself to Joey and he misunderstands what her name is.
Oh, yeah, he thinks her name is Dutch.
But can we actually decide upon what her real name is? Because I still don't understand and I've watched
it's just kind of a noise,
times.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I've spelled it M-A-R-H-A.
Yeah.
Does that sound
Martha.
Martha. Martha.
I think it's sort of like Martha, but it's said in a Dutch accent.
We're alienating a lot of cultures at the moment, guys. We've alienated the Americans already by saying we think their sport is daft and we don't really understand it. We're now alienating the Dutch. Let's call her Martha for the purposes of this. So no, Martha, and they back and forth this all the time, don't they? And we never really know what her name is. But I'd like to talk about Martha, and I think this is where we should start properly, right? So we see everything, as always, from the perspective of these six people, right? And from the perspective of these six people, they've spotted this hot Dutch girl. Two of the boys have tried to chat to her, and they both want to hit on her. Great. That kind of, we're happy with that. We've made our peace with that. What's Maha doing on Thanksgiving?
That is true.
Just hanging around next to a park bench.
Right. She has left her house, wandered to a park. I mean, maybe she's mistaken it for the big thing. Maybe someone said, hey, do you know what they do on Thanksgiving? Big game of football. NFL. And she's gone, all right, I'm going to go and find it. And she's literally wandered up to some strangers in the park and gone, can I watch you play football?
Also, did you notice the dog?
Well, the dog's an interesting point of contention because she doesn't have the dog at the start.
Right, the dog disappears. The dog is briefly on the bench next to her and then the dog's just gone. It's very irresponsible pet ownership.
There's three stages of the dog, right? No dog when they first meet Joey. She first meets Joey and Chandler. No dog because always you would reference a dog if you had a dog, you know? She's not holding a dog. Then, yeah, she's sat on a bench with a dog. Then later, they all go back up to the apartment. Why does Maha go? No one's sure. She's just a Dutch stranger sat on a bench. But when they go to find the Geller cup, she's nipped up with them. Where's the bloody dog?
That is a great point.
And when they all stop playing at one moment, Maha has this wonderful moment when she goes over to them and says, game is over, we eat now. It's like, well, maybe they do, but you're not invited, mate. You're not coming.
That's such a good point. Do we eat now? Are you cooking? Have you cooked for me?
Yeah, one second she's just sat on a park bench, the next she's expecting to be invited to Thanksgiving. You are not invited.
This is all a ruse by Maha, isn't it? Like, she's on her own in a new country on Thanksgiving, so she thought, I'll head down the park, see if I can be taken under the wing of some friendly Americans.
She's using her wiles to extort Thanksgiving dinner out of some unsuspecting American men. Fair play to her.
She's nailed it.
But yeah, I'd love to see a spin-off of Maha's life up to that point.
She's one of Friends' most enigmatic characters.
Oh, she is. Hang on, let's do the thing that we always like to do. Simon, we like to do this on the podcast where we find out what the actors that played the small characters...
Do you reckon she's actually Dutch?
Well, it's always fascinating.
Do you want me to Google?
I'm on it, mate. I'm on IMDb already. Don't you worry. Suzanne Voltaire is her name. She's not Dutch.
Also, have you also seen this spelling of Maha online?
Oh, yeah.
It's got a G in it.
There's a rogue G.
Maybe that's where the H comes from.
Maha. Susanna is from the United States and does not have an accent. She added the accent while auditioning for the part of Maha. Here's a real kicker, and one that I think is going to take the crew down in our estimation. When they found out she was American, the crew was shocked. No one was shocked that woman isn't Dutch.
Have you also seen that her last acting job was in 1999?
Yes, in the Wild Thornberrys.
Oh no, hang on, a TV commercial in 2004.
Yeah,
I think even something as expansive as the internet has lost track of that woman.
Oh, I found her on Facebook, guys. Susanna Voltaire.
Have you actually found it? Because Twitter has no results for a Susanna Voltaire.
Works as retired, lives in Doncaster. That's not her.
Well, wherever she is, I hope she's happy.
The one I found lives in Doncaster, Pete. So unless she's taken a real...
Like Erin.
Yeah, I was going to say, Pete, if you're not aware of this, if you've just joined us to listen to this podcast for the first time, Pete lives in Leeds and records the podcast from Leeds. I'd say it's unlikely that the woman that plays the Dutch character Marga in Friends Series 3, Episode 9, lives in Doncaster, Pete. But, oh boy, for this podcast, wouldn't that be a nice turn up for the books?
Stranger things have happened.
Live from Marga's house, the season finale of Friends with Friends. So let's move on to Ross and Monica, shall we? So this episode is pivotal around the Geller Cup, this weird troll on a 2x4 that they obviously made when they were kids. They used to play for it every year at Thanksgiving. Ross won it, I think, 4 times. Monica won it 3 times, something like that. Ross has won it 1 more time. I tell you that because whilst looking up for questions for the quiz at the end of the show, I discounted that as it was too, I thought it was too hard because it's only on the screen for an eighth of a second.
Can I come clean?
What?
I paused it at exactly that section when I came back to the episode and lovingly rewatched it. I thought, this is absolutely golden fodder for the lightning round.
Yeah.
So I thought,
let's pause it. And through the miracle of modern day technology, there is no kind of wobbly line on the screen anymore like there was when I first watched it. And so you can actually see how many times Ross has won it, how many times has Monica's won it, the years in which they've won it. And also pull out yet another plot hole, which is apparently it was all over by Geller Bowl 6 because that's when the Savage nose breaking took place. But they've already played 7 if you look at the Geller Cup.
Yes, that's right,
my God.
Isn't it?
Good spot.
Thank you. That is not at all sad, is it, that I did that?
That is a remarkable attention to detail, that is.
But it's a really poor attention to detail from the people making the trophy.
True, yeah, yeah.
That's really strange, isn't it? They've obviously gone to loads of lengths to go, right, we need to make this look real. And you'd have thought someone at some point would have just gone, should we check with the script writing guys, like, what they've done? Or should we just guess?
And they've probably thought, you know what? No one's going to see it anyway. It's only on screen for a split second.
Yeah, and you know, they'll just get those wobbly lines on the VHS. No one's thought about Netflix, have they, in 1996?
One of this episode's nicest moments as well is to do with this trophy, and it's Ross and Monica's genuine heartache at the trophy ending up in the lake.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
They sort of have this moment of sad horror and recollection as they remember Jack Geller. Is it their dad that throws it in the lakes?
It was. Yeah, their dad threw it into the lake after the incident, right?
That's right.
Yeah, I love how genuinely sad they are at that moment. There's a moment a little bit later where Ross and Monica are winding each other up because Ross suggests that Monica's cheating, and she gets very sort of incensed by the suggestion that she's cheating, and she thinks that he's just being a sore loser. And the way that they play that kind of, Ross is really patronising Monica and it just winds her up. And it's such a good representation of what young siblings are like. And yet it's funny because they're grown adults and they're doing exactly the same thing.
But in terms of their, you know, kind of one-upsmanship of each other, they're constantly... That's one of the great things about this episode is they keep thinking they've got the upper hand and then it just keeps going horribly, horribly wrong for them.
I've just written in my notes, this isn't a good look for Ross and Monica.
Yeah.
As grown-ups. Like, he shouts, cheater, cheater, compulsive eater at her.
Not a healthy relationship.
She responds by giving him a dead leg. It just feels like, oh, guys, let it go. Things have changed. And if you were one of the other 4 friends, they all kind of just take it in their stride, don't they? They're like, this is normal. This is fine.
Oh, these guys beating each other up at almost 30.
Right. And it kind of reminds me of, you know, that episode where they wrestle.
Oh, yeah. Perfectly normal activity.
This seems like a normal relationship for 2 30-year-olds to have. No, no, no. But right, come on, let's move on to the elephant in the room. This is right up there with one of the worst sort of examples of sexism in Friends, I think, for the whole thing. So we're in the football, we've met Marga.
Yeah.
She's inexplicably gone back to their apartment, which obviously just iron up the food, waiting for Thanksgiving dinner, going, oh yeah, it smells
just
all right.
Want some turkey.
I can propose that I stay here for Thanksgiving dinner. Thrilled. They've gone back down. Now, at this stage, they start with the teams of Ross, Chandler and Rachel, right?
That's right, yeah.
And then Monica, Phoebe and Joey.
Yeah.
Monica's team's winning.
Yeah.
By how many points?
42-21.
42-21. This quiz is going to be too easy for him, isn't it? So easy. Ross makes, again, a little It's a really pathetic moment where he goes, well, of course you're winning. You got to pick first. Implying that, I mean, they've literally got a double score. They're literally beating them by 21 points.
It's a significant gap. Yeah. For those that aren't familiar with American football, that is three touchdowns. That is a very significant swing in momentum that is required.
Isn't 42 also a huge score in American football?
It's big enough considering it's not even two-thirds of the way through the game, yeah. Supposedly.
Yeah.
So it's then proposed they swap and they do boys versus girls. Monica's like, I can win. The girls can beat the boys, right? At that point, I'm still with it. I'm still like, this is... Monica's really leading the charge in this episode, actually, as like a woman that treats herself as an equal to the men. Immediately, as they swap teams, Phoebe says the line, but they're boys. How are we going to beat three boys? And my heart sank, because how do they beat three boys, Simon?
They, well, how do you put this politically correctly?
You can just say it.
They use their wiles to put the boys off their game, which includes flashing their chests at them.
They just get their tits out. Yeah. They literally just get their tits out.
Phoebe sort of shepherds Chandler into a bush by flashing him, doesn't she?
Right.
Which, by the way, he definitely still scores a touchdown on, so this is an entirely fruitless exercise.
Oh, we can all have rules of American football, Simon. We can all understand the rules, mate. That's not what this episode's about. But that is like, for me, that was just one of those moments where I could immediately see into the Friends, right, like male dominated writing room and just them all going, we've absolutely got this. But how, I mean, boys are obviously going to win at sports because boys are better at sports. This is not me talking, by the way. This is me. It's really important that you can't see my gesturing.
Do your Friends writing room voice.
Yeah. Oh, the boys are obviously going to win at football because the boys are better at sports. I don't know what accent that is.
Where are you from exactly?
And then they've obviously just gone, but this is, guys, I've got this. Looks around, looks for high fives. What if they just get their tits out and then the girls will win the football? And it's really, really not good. But like... From like I say, Monica is quite annoying in this episode at various points. Her competitiveness, her sort of immaturity, her like the sibling rivalry. But she's really like standing up in the feminism stakes here. She's being like, no, we're equal. We can beat you. We're good at this. Phoebe and Rachel are really dragging it down here. Rachel's just wandering off going, I'm useless and pathetic. Phoebe's going, let's get our boobs out.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, Phoebe, to her credit, does clothesline Chandler as well. So that, you know, that is impressive. You know, Monica's got some great tackling skills. I think it's Chandler who bears the brunt of that one. Again, the poor guy is getting lumps taken out of him. But Rachel is just completely just, she's just away with the fairies and just bemoaning her bad luck being told to go long over and over again. Come on, girl, take a grip of the situation and get involved, which she does in the end.
And then the thing is, as I was writing this, scribbling these notes down and going, Monica's really smashing this. She's like, you know, she is presenting herself in as good a way as she possibly can. I'm going to be, I don't care. I'm an equal to my brother. I'm better than my brother. And then right as I was writing that down, I got to the end of the episode where they're tussling over the ball and she screams, let go. I'm a tiny little woman. And I was like, oh, Monica, so close.
You were doing so well.
Yeah, so close.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So how does the game end? Remind us, it's a tie.
How much detail do you want me to go into?
I'm kind of fascinated here, Pete. Are you to see, based on Simon's knowledge so far, how much detail he could go into?
Yeah, I want to know how realistic the outcome of this game actually is.
Okay, go on, Simon.
It depends how hungover I am, but it almost brings a tear to my eye if I'm particularly broken. Rachel is tired of being told to go long. And she has asked for a go at throwing, which she then tries to have a go at, and it all goes horribly wrong. She throws the ball into Monica's eye.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's now told to go long again. Unfortunately, Phoebe is now being mobbed by the boys so that nobody can throw to her, and Rachel is standing there right next to the end zone waiting for the pass. The ball is thrown, and miraculously, in slow motion, with some very, very stirring music in the background, Rachel manages to catch the ball. And we believe she has won the game for her team. And it's all very exciting. Unfortunately, she is 5 feet short of the end zone. And so, actually, the boys have won the game. Although, actually, nobody's tagged Rachel. And so, the game is still going.
And that is all good football? Does that all tie in with
or
the rules of football?
That's all correct footballing, yes.
Because she catches it and chucks it away, right?
That she does. She throws it on the floor in excitement and the ball is still live on the ground,
right.
Which leads to Ross and Monica throwing themselves on the ball. Whoever can claim that ball wins the game.
And we never know, do we?
Yeah, we don't see an outcome, do we? We don't know who out of Ross and Monica actually gives up and goes out.
It's left with them still grappling over the ball as as the credits come up.
And does the Geller Cup ever come up again in Friends?
No, I don't think so.
Just feels like...
This is one and only moment.
This is season three. It just feels like that would just happen every Thanksgiving now.
Maybe something really harrowing happened at the end of that episode and we'll never know what it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. It's a really dark ending.
Maybe Maha came back.
Maybe Maha was the Geller Cup all along in human form.
And she disappeared.
We're writing some pretty twisted fan theories here, aren't we?
Maha came to life, the Geller Cup. Oh, no, because she's in the same room, is it? No, doesn't tie in, guys. Don't worry. Back to the original plot. Maha's just a Dutch girl that wants some food.
There is a very strange thing in this episode as well, where the studio audience gets slightly more involved, in that when the first touchdown is scored, they applaud as if like Joey's actually accomplished something, which is an unusual Friends move.
Oh, yeah, that is interesting, isn't it? As if to replicate the audience of a football match rather than a sitcom.
Yeah, the audience
are
well involved in that game because they applaud with every touchdown.
That's so strange.
Especially
isn't
when
it?
Rachel seemingly wins it at the end.
Also, this is one of those episodes where you think if you were in the studio audience, you've got to see nothing because they've filmed all of that stuff elsewhere, I guess. And there's nothing in the apartment, really, is there? Apart from...
That's very true, yeah. Apart from
so you're just watching,
a couple of minutes.
They're all just watching it on screens, the poor buggers. Can we talk about the extra in the window?
Who
is she there at the end?
She is there for the whole episode. There's just a woman in a window. And if we thought Maha was a slightly strange character in this for wanting to watch the game, at least she's gone outside and had a chat and watched from the bench.
It's just unbelievable. This woman's commitment to being a part of this show is absolutely just unparalleled. So she is standing at her open window, which I believe is the only window in the entire building. So the rest of her flat is a complete darkness. And she's decided that on her lonely Thanksgiving, she's just going to stare out the window and hope something happens in the park outside. So when the gang arrive, it's absolutely made her day. Nay, her entire year, and she watches the entire game, and then towards the end decides to call somebody to tell everybody how great a time she's having watching this game.
What, is she on the phone at the
she's
end?
She's on the phone, just having a chat, just saying, yeah, I'm just watching these guys play a football game. I think they might be, you know, just local friends.
The fact that they are the extent of her Thanksgiving plans is quite tragic, actually, isn't it?
Well, that is the spin-off that you want to see, isn't it? What has led to this woman spending her entire Thanksgiving afternoon at the kitchen window, just watching some people play football that she doesn't know. Like, I want to see that.
It's heartbreaking, isn't it? That backstory.
It's really sad. The character's really sad. But also, that poor extra. Guys, I was in Friends. I'm in a whole episode of Friends. That's amazing. Let's all get the popcorn, watch it. There I am.
We don't even get her name to Google her and see what she's up to these days either. I think she's just barely even referenced.
She's not credited, mate. She is not credited anywhere. There's so many people credited on this flipping episode. I'll tell you what, this is, she'll be looking at this really sad. Even Ran Barker is an uncredited administrator, has made it to the IMDb page for this show.
So let's spare a thought for Woman in Window.
Woman in Window. A moment's silence, please, for the woman in the window.
Time for the quiz?
Yeah. Time for the lightning round. Okay, right. So, Simon, you'll be familiar with this now from having listened to the podcast.
Oh, yes.
Five questions in our handily titled Attention to Detail quiz. And usually, like, an average score has been what, Pete, so far? Three's a good score?
Yeah, I think some of them just go over people's heads, don't they? Because they are, well, we've tried to make them quite difficult because it is all about attention to detail.
So we'll start easy, and we've mentioned this one already. So question one, during which Gala Bowl did Monica break Ross's nose?
It was indeed Gala Bowl 6, Dave.
That is correct. One out of one. Good start. But that's quite easy based on what we've talked about so far and Simon's level of research.
Can I just say, I am so nervous right now. I feel like I'm doing an exam. I went off and I made my notes on my episode a few days ago and now they've all just fallen out of my head. Honestly, I feel
you've
like...
You've done your revision and now look.
Yeah, it's just, I'm just going to be spouting nonsense for the next 3 minutes.
Question two. What number is on Joey's favourite jersey?
I think it's 22.
Is correct.
It is 22. Well done.
Was that one that you were genuinely unsure about?
I was. You know, it's one of those when you lose confidence right at the last second. Yeah. You're like, I've got this. Don't worry. And then you're like, is it 22 or 23? 22.
More jersey related chat. What does it say on Phoebe's shirt while she's playing football?
I think it says that girl.
I mean, yeah, that's
correct.
Did I
get it? Oh, yes.
That is correct. And it's got a little...
I do actually really like that t-shirt. And while watching the episode, I doodled it and sent it to Dave.
That's three out of three. Pete, question
next.
Four.
What is Joey eating for Thanksgiving?
What is Joey eating?
What is Joey eating for Thanksgiving? We see a shot of them all eating their Thanksgiving dinner.
Joey, this is one of my favourite things.
He's got a confidence in this.
Is chowing down on a giant turkey leg.
He is.
The likes of which I have only ever seen in Jurassic Park in Orlando Universal Studios, because it's just a classic example of Americans doing things on an unnecessarily large scale.
I was just about to say, the only time I've ever seen anyone eat a turkey leg is at Disney World, where they just sell them. You can just buy them. It's boiling hot in the middle of a Florida summer and you can just buy an absolutely huge turkey leg.
Just have a nibble on a giant piece of animal for the afternoon. Yeah. Why not?
It is the biggest thing I've ever seen. Like, it's astonishingly big. So the rest of them are all just sitting around eating off plates like a normal Thanksgiving dinner. Stuffing, turkey, bits and bobs, yams probably.
And Joey's gone full caveman.
Just with his hands.
Yeah.
He's not eating with a knife and fork. He's just got a turkey leg in his hands and he's just chomping away. No one's even bothered. No one's even bothered about that. Fair play to him. That's four out of four, guys. Question five.
No pressure, but if you get full marks, I don't think anyone has got full marks yet, have they?
No, I don't think they have.
The pressure is too much.
You could be top of the leaderboard. They mark out a football pitch. Where does the pitch stretch from and to?
It stretches from the trash can.
Oh, my days.
To the lamppost.
He's got it. He's got it.
Wow. Wow.
If I was being very
finicky. Hugely impressive attention to detail with the one with the football. You can be very proud.
Thank you so much, Pete. My one, I think Dave's going to pick me up on something here.
No. I was saying if I was being very finicky, if I was marking this to words, the actual answer is trash can to the light post.
And that's why I hesitated.
Is it?
Yeah.
But I've never heard anyone call it a light post, so I'm going to discount that as an Americanism that we don't care about.
Thank you so much for giving me that touchdown.
That's five out of five. I just feel like we in the first ever episode of this podcast, we did bonus questions because I hadn't quite worked out the format of the quiz
yet. Yeah, the format was very loose.
It was very loose. I just feel like we need to see what the limits of the knowledge are here. But I've got very... Can you tell me what else everybody's wearing in the football game?
I think this is like a super fun bonus question for me. But
just
for you. Is this going to be fun for anybody else to listen to me reel off?
Rachel is wearing green t-shirt. That's all I can give you with that.
What does the green t-shirt say on it?
I think what we should all remember here is that no matter how much detail I have retained from doing my in-depth study, picture the scene of me sitting on my sofa taking copious notes whilst watching this episode and stopping at every 30 seconds to take more. I think we all know who the loser is here. So
I do take notes, but I do them as I go along. I'm not committed enough to pause.
I can give you hats and jerseys for the entire gang, I reckon.
Oh, my goodness.
This is proper geeking out now.
Okay, I'm going to put some music under this while recite the entire thing.
Enjoy, everybody.
Inspiring Simon's level of research on the one with the football.
Starting with Ross. Ross is wearing a navy blue Nike jersey. Chandler is wearing, I believe, a grey jersey and a backwards blue Giants cap. Rachel is wearing a green top and a backwards black cap. Her green top has something like Boxing Bronx Gym on the front. Monica's wearing an oversized Giants jersey. Phoebe's wearing her That Girl jersey. Joey's wearing his favorite maroon number 22 jersey over his white jumper. I think, is that it? Is that everyone?
That's it.
You've got it covered.
That was beautiful.
I hope everyone's enjoyed that.
Wow, that is quite something, isn't it? Well, there you go. If you're coming on the podcast anytime soon and you want to know what the level you have to hit.
There's the bar.
That the bar has been set.
Mini wave and celebration to me. A woohoo. Holland loves Simon. Thank you, Amsterdam. Good night.
Hello, still here, aren't we? Just to tell you about what's happening next week, so you can go away, get your Netflix fired up, and watch the episode in preparation. Next week's guest is the model and actress Lucy Pinder. Hello, Lucy Pinder.
Hello.
Would you like to tell us, please, which episode you will be talking about next week?
The episode I'll be talking about is, I think it's Series 5, Episode 14, and it is the one where everybody finds out about Monica and Chandler.
The one where everybody finds out? Pause, because I think the official title.
Oh, what's the official title?
No, you got it right. You just carried on.
Okay, sorry. Fucked it up. Start again.
You just went the one where everybody finds out about Monica and Chandler in the apartment where they live in New York City in about 1999.
And they basically... Right, sorry.
That's right. No, it's fine. Season 5, episode 14.
Just carried away.
The one where everybody finds out. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
All the best.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.